Oh. Ah. Mr. Podgewell, is it?
That's right, yes, yes.
Come in, come in, sit down, take the weight off your ailments.
Sorry?
Oh, just a little medical joke. Now, what seems to be the problem, Mr. Podgewell?
Well, I get these terrible headaches.
Headaches, I see. Yeah. What kind of headaches?
Well, they're in my head, and they hurt.
I see. Couldn't you be a little bit more specific?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, do you get a stabbing pain in a particular part of your head, or is it more of a general all-round pain?
Well, I suppose it's more of a stabbing pain.
Yeah. I see. And do these occur at any particular time?
Yeah, you see, they only happen when I do this.
Ow!
That really hurts.
Okay. Do that again. Ow!
It's happening again. I was fine a moment ago. Now, blinding headache.
Now, call me Mr. Optimistic, but I think I might have hit the nail on the head. I think I know the cause of your problem.
Oh, good. What is it?
You keep hitting yourself on the head with a hammer.
And what's your point?
Well, isn't it obvious, man? If you hit yourself on the head, your head will hurt. It'll hurt a lot.
Now, Doctor, be honest with me. You can tell me straight. Is there a cure?
Of course there is, you steaming great idiot. Stop hitting yourself on the head with a hammer.
Oh, no. I couldn't do that.
Well, why on earth not?
It's my free will, isn't it? It's my choice.
What are you on about?
I've made a lifestyle decision here. I live on the edge, I do.
The edge of sanity, presumably.
I have chosen to live this way. It's your job to make sure I don't suffer for it.
I can't do that. Look, if you do this, I can't help you.
That's not fair!
What is not fair about that?
This is the 21st century, isn't it? Everyone should be allowed to do what they like. I should be able to live as I please without my head hurting.
Don't be stupid. It's a simple choice. You can live the life you want, but you're going to have to face the consequences.
But why? We should be able to enjoy ourselves without any guilt, without any pain, without any consequence. I should be allowed to do what I like and let society pick up the tab. I mean, isn't there some kind of pill you can give me?
Pill? You don't need a pill. You just need to stop hitting yourself.
I can't do that. Hitting myself is my life. It's what makes me the rebel I am.
Oh, my word. Well, maybe you could wrap your hair in a big bandage or something.
Ruin my man bun.
Yes. Wear a crash helmet.
I get claustrophobic in small spaces.
Of course. Well, I'm sorry, but there's nothing more I can do for you. You've made your choice. You're going to have to face the consequences.
I see. Well, thank you, Doctor.
You'll be pleased to know, however, you're in no danger of brain damage.
I'm not.
After all, you have to have a brain to damage, don't you?
Wonderful. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Choices. Right, so a couple of weeks back in September, we had a group come to Minadon, the British Mission Society, BMS, and every year they bring a group of young people who are about to go off on mission in different parts of the world. And this kind of week, this few days with us for them, is an extreme team bonding. It's not boot camp. We're told very explicitly it's not boot camp. But we are there to kind of push them a little bit, to stretch them, and see what happens. Now, myself and Jake had a group this year, and everything we threw at them, they were fine. They laughed it off. It was great fun. And throughout the week, it started off as a bit of a joke, but we had this motto going with them. And the motto was, words have power, actions have consequences. And every time they did something right in a task, an action that was with the task, there was a good consequence. And every time in the task that they did something that wasn't quite what we wanted them to do, there was a bad action, as it were, there was equally a bad consequence. Now, all the actions all have consequences. All the choices we make have consequences on us and on those around us. You know, in films, they always say, oh, you had a choice, why didn't you choose the right thing? Oh, I didn't have a choice. Everyone always says in the film, you had a choice. You know, for me, what it boils down to, the big choices we make in life, all the choices we make in life, What it boils down to is choosing God or choosing ourselves. I've said this before, but it's choosing kingdom God or kingdom self. Now, looking at Ruth's life, Ruth made this massively life-changing choice. Ruth made the decision to stay committed to the family she'd married into with Naomi, despite the bleakness that it may cause. Naomi explains in verse 12 and 13 the potential consequences of staying with her. You know, she says that even if I was to get a husband today and had children, then would you wait for them to be grown up and then marry? She's saying, what reason could you possibly have for staying with me? There is nothing for you here to stay with me. No reason for you to stay. So why did she stay? No one made Ruth do what she did. She did it of her own free will because she loved Naomi and wasn't going to leave her. She also says in verse 16 at the end, your God will be my God. So not only is she going with Naomi and leaving behind her home, she's leaving behind the God of her family. She's being converted. Again, no one said if she went with Naomi, she would have to convert. She willingly chose to give herself to God. As Tony said last week, the word running through this book is trust. Ruth was completely trusting in God's providence for her. It says in the Bible that when we accept Jesus into our lives, we die and we are born again in Christ Jesus with a new identity. We leave behind our old lives and our old way of living in order to live for Christ. When Ruth decides to stay with Naomi, she leaves behind her old life, her old way of doing things, and says to Naomi, your God will be my God. So my question is, when we get choices in life, you know, we all do, big and small, how do we make those choices? How do we make wise choices? I believe there are four different ways. Jesus says the two commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And those three, heart, mind, and soul, I believe are three of the ways that we make choices, make decisions. So our hearts. Now, the heart is associated with love, isn't it? With emotion, with feeling. When we're upset, we feel sad. And sometimes it feels like our hearts are aching. We feel pain and we feel happiness. And we make decisions and choices based on those feelings. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And Proverbs 27:19, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Our actions reflect what's going on the inside. They reflect how we feel, and it's noticed. You know, when you first become a Christian, there's this fire. You see it a lot at kind of Soul Survivor and big youth camps like that. There's this fire, this passion, which is incredible, but it's so easy to let that fire die. After making that first choice, it becomes so easy to think, I'm done. And we can easily slip into living for kingdom self. You know, in a way, it's true. Our names are written in the book of life and they can't come out. We are forgiven. We are free. And we don't have to do anything to earn that freedom. But Jesus came not only so that we could have freedom, but also that we could have a relationship with him. Luke 9:23 and 24 says, then he said to them, if anyone wants to follow me, he must say no to himself. He must pick up his cross every day and follow me. If he wants to save his life, he will lose it. But if he loses his life for me, he will save it. The cross in those days, what was it? It was a brutal form of execution, wasn't it? Probably the worst way to die. So when Jesus says, pick up your cross daily, I don't think he was referring to carrying some life burden, like a job you're not enjoying or a relationship you're struggling with. He was literally talking about being prepared to die. Dying to self. actively choosing kingdom God over kingdom self. He was talking about each day waking up and choosing to follow him and build that relationship. Over the summer, there was a guy working on summer team called Matt, and he once said to me that when he's at university, every day he has to wake up and say, today I'm going to follow Jesus. Today I'm going to be a Christian. And that really struck me because I'd never done that before. But he said every day he has to wake up and say, today I'm going to follow Jesus. Today I'm a Christian. So we can choose to keep pursuing him, keep praying for that fire to keep growing, for that spark to be relit if it needs to be relit. Or we can let the fire die down. Whatever we feel in our hearts will be shown in our actions. If we are actively seeking God, not because we feel we have to, but because we want to, then it will show. Likewise, if we are seeking God because we feel we have to and not because we want to, then that will also show. So the second way, with our minds. How we think has a massive impact on how we make decisions. Thoughts we have can be so powerful in terms of our outlook on life. You know, there's lots of inspirational people out there who say things like, positive thinking is the way to success. And choose to think positively. Don't listen to negative thoughts. Push them aside. Be positive. Which is fine, great. But they're missing something huge. Society will tell you to ignore the negativity. But the problem is, ignoring something isn't dealing with the problem. Which is what? The enemy. He will try and convince us of so many things that aren't true. The Bible said he's the father of lies. Thoughts like, I'm rubbish. I can't do anything. Feeling useless or isolated. Are all ways that the devil tries to get a foothold in our lives. I listened to a talk recently by a guy called Chris Vallotton called Our Battle is Not Against Flesh and Blood. He was talking on spiritual warfare. And one of the things he said was the reason it's so easy to believe the voices like, I'm rubbish, I suck, is that the voices sound like our own. I remember my first ever day of high school. Seems like a long time ago now. But I turned up at school, and I was the only guy on a bike. Not only that, I was the only guy on a bike with a bright yellow reflective jacket and a helmet. Totally screaming, I'm cool kid, right? And I remember walking through the car park trying to find the bike stand. And all that I had in my head was, I look like an idiot. I look like an idiot. I feel stupid. I look like an idiot. And it was just going over in my head. And that's what came out. This shy kid who couldn't, you know, who didn't know who he was. And it felt awful. None of it was true. I mean, I was the odd one out, but I didn't look like an idiot. But I'd listened to the lies that the enemy was feeding me, and I believed them because it sounded like my own voice. The devil isn't big and obvious. He's subtle. So what do we do? Well, we can choose to accept the truths of the Bible, that the enemy has been defeated and has no authority. We can choose to accept that we are no longer slaves to sin, but that we have been set free. And that same power lives in us. And we can choose to control our thoughts. And like a sieve that takes water out of pasta, we can say no to the enemy giving us negative thoughts and things like that. In Jesus' name, you can say no. Why? Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And finally, with our souls. What is our soul? The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. It also translates to life. Well, what do we need for life to survive? We need food, don't we? And water and breath. Which suggests the soul is our desires, our needs, not necessarily all physical, but emotional wishings and cravings. Essentially, it's talking about what we want. It's very similar to our heart. My question is, are you craving more of Jesus today? Are you chasing after him? Deuteronomy 4:29 says, But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Psalm 63:1, You God are my God, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you, my whole being longs for you, in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Have you ever been thirsty? Really, really needing water, needing a drink. All that you can think about is a glass of cold water. On a hot day when you know, you're running around, you're outside and stuff's happening, all you can think about is a glass of cold water. Thirsting for something isn't a light thing. You know, it's not, oh, I could do with some water. I need water. It's a craving. It's a need. It's a desire. That's how we should be chasing after God. I need more of you. I want more of you. I'm craving more of your presence, more of your Holy Spirit. So we can feel the urge to do something. We can want to do it and think about it over and over again. But that doesn't make a difference unless we do something about it. I think the last way we make decisions is with our strength, i.e. the action, what we actually do about it. James 2:26 says, "Faith without good works is dead." We can believe everything in the Bible. We can believe it 100%. And we can feel that it's right. But we have to do something about it. All these words, love, desire, they're verbs. We can't just feel love for God. We've got to do love. We can't just want to desire after God. We have to actively do it and actively pursue him. Ruth didn't just love her mother-in-law on the inside. She didn't just want to stay with her. She actively did it. When I first became a Christian, I didn't realize the benefits of reading my Bible for quite a long time. I was a Christian by name and not by nature. And now I eat quite a lot of food, and I went through it was every now and again where I would eat a lot of food and think, oh, I should be full now. But somehow I wasn't satisfied. You ever get that feeling of just not quite, food isn't enough. You could drink the water and it's just not enough. What I didn't realize was that I was spiritually hungry. I was craving more of God and more of the Holy Spirit, yearning for that relationship. I didn't realize it. And then I started reading my Bible and suddenly I was just being filled up. And that's what it does, you know. Reading your Bible every day or whenever you choose to do it, it's so important. You know, it builds the relationship with God. It strengthens that relationship. The more you go deeper into his word, the deeper you get in that relationship. Not only does it help build the relationship, but it prepares us for the day ahead. It mentally equips us for the battles that we all will face during the day. And, you know, I still have days where I feel on fire for God. My heart's right there and everything's in the right place. And I'm like, yeah, whoa, let's go. And yet there are still days where I'm like, oh, man, I'm so hungry. But I'm aware now of what I need to do. And I have to look back on over the week or over the day and say, have I been choosing Kingdom God? Or have we been choosing kingdom self? I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe there's something that God has put on your heart. Maybe it's setting aside more time to be with him in the day. Maybe it's talking to someone you find difficult. Maybe it's to do with how you spend your money. It could be a whole host of different things. Maybe it's big life decisions like what Ruth had. Giving up something that's a big part of your life or moving jobs or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's making the choice to say no to the lies that have been a big part of your life. The lies you've been believing. Whatever it is, if something that God has been encouraging you for a long time, that you feel he's been saying to you for a long time, then I would encourage you just to go for it. because God's got your back. Trust him. Take that leap of faith, however scary it may be. If it's something that is quite big and quite scary and you don't feel you can just go for it like that, then I would encourage you, find someone and just pray about it. But don't leave it as a thought or a feeling or a want inside. Let it be an action on the outside as well. Because whatever happens, you have a choice. You can choose Kingdom God, or you can choose Kingdom Self. I'll pray. Father, thank you that you've given us all choices, that we have free will, that we can choose what we do. Lord, I pray as we go into this week, into the following weeks and months, Lord, that we'd be aware of the choices that we have and be aware of the path that is Kingdom God. And that you would give us the strength and the courage and the peace of mind to do that, to trust in you with our choices, however big and scary it may be. And yet, let us pray for the rest of today, that everyone has an awesome Sunday, relaxing and preparing for the week ahead.